Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of OEM TV. This is video number two in the three-part series on Operations Management Suite. I'm Eric Mills and I'm joined by Keith Mayer. How's it going, Keith?
Doing well, Eric. Thanks for having me on the show today.
All right, you're welcome. In the last video on Operations Management Suite, we kind of laid out how does Operations Management Suite or OMS, how does that fit in with Operations Manager from System Center and the traditional tools built into Windows Server, and we talked about how OMS differentiates itself and where it should be used within those set of tools. Now we get to dig into OMS a little bit, and we're going to be talking about automation and control, as well as insights and analytics. So Keith, I know you know a lot about Operations Management Suite. We're going to try to boil it down for these folks as much as possible so they can really get a quick understanding of what's in OMS. And let's start with automation and control. How does OMS help us solve those problems?
Yeah, so OMS, from an automation standpoint, it includes a cloud-based automation orchestrator that can help to automate the configuration, the provisioning, the alerting or responses to alerts for workloads that are running on-prem, in hosted data centers, or out in a public cloud provider, Azure or other public cloud providers. And it does that in a few different ways. Automation, the OMS automation feature includes the ability to prepare standard sets of automation runbooks. You know, think about a typical IT shop. A lot of our IT shops have paper runbooks, right? Where basically they're standard operating procedures that when it comes time to install a new server or install a new application or patch a server or whatnot, they pull out their standard operating procedure runbooks and walk through it step by step, manually performing those processes, ticking the box. And that's great to have those kinds of standards in place, but at the same time, standards that a human is following as a set of tasks like that also opens the door for potential mistakes or skipping a step or things of that nature. And it also requires still someone to actually view those steps. So what automation runbooks allow you to do is to take the equivalent of those standard operating procedures and completely automate them so that when you have a new server to deploy, when you have new applications to deploy, or when you have a standard backup and recovery process that you want to implement or whatnot, you have the ability to automate all of those sequences into these runbooks and then have those runbooks run against your on-prem servers, your servers in the cloud, servers that are hosted or otherwise. Automation also supports a declarative configuration approach called desired state configuration, or DSC. And that's actually a very interesting standpoint, a very interesting approach that a lot of our customers are beginning to move towards. When you think about runbooks, they're sort of like scripts, right, where they're imperative scripts in nature, and you have to spend some time, if it's a complex configuration, building out your script and testing it, whereas what DSC offers is more of a declarative approach for declaring what you want the final configuration of a server to look like. And then DSC takes care of all of the processing of that declarative configuration to make that server look like the configuration that you spelled out with the right roles and features, application, settings, files and folders, shares, and whatnot in your environment. And it also gives you the ability to have that server self-monitor itself against that DSC configuration you've assigned to it, so that if someone goes into that server and tries to manually undo one of those configuration elements, DSC can either audit and alert you to that, report on it, or it can actually self-correct actively and put itself back to the configuration you had enforced. So the automation aspect of OMS gives you sort of a Swiss Army knife for being able to automate, whether it's script-based automation, whether it's declarative-based automation, be able to automate all of your common processes. And then the other advantage that it has is because it allows you to use automation against on-prem as well as cloud-based roles for organizations that are looking to gradually move some of their workloads to the cloud. You can develop your automation for your on-premise workloads first using tools like DSC or runbooks. And as those workloads move up to the cloud, you can continue to leverage those same runbooks and VSC configurations with without having to make major changes to the way that you manage cloud versus on-prem workloads. You're beginning to take that approach of managing your entire IT deployment, your entire hybrid deployment in that case, as a group of standards instead of managing each server individually one by one, like has been done in a lot of IT shops traditionally, to gain more value and more accelerated time for being able to deploy new applications, new servers, new workloads, and whatnot.
I think I can tell that you're really excited about this, because when you get really excited, you start doing a lot more hand movements, and really getting into it, and I appreciate that. But really, desired state configuration, a lot of people are excited about this one. If you're into DevOps, those people are really excited about DSC because it gives you the ability to define that final state of the server, and you can do that with code. So there's a lot of talk about infrastructure as code and, you know, fancy terms like that. But we're talking about a way to finalize the state of what you want the server to look like, and then, you know, let it get there on its own, and let it monitor, like you said, for configuration drift, so that you always know you have a known state of what you want your infrastructure to look like. And that's a much better place to be than, you know, if you're tied to some physical piece of hardware that has all kinds of limitations. So, yeah, a lot of people are very excited about DSC. Let me ask you this, Keith. You mentioned runbooks. For a small and medium business, in your experience, what kind of runbooks would they typically use? Like, what are just some common scenarios? Because I think a lot of people that haven't been exposed to, you know, automation and scripting and runbooks, they don't really get what problems that solves. So what are some typical runbooks that you think people would run for a small and medium business?
Yeah, definitely. And it really goes back to kind of thinking about, you know, what are those repetitive tasks that you're doing on a regular basis manually today? And it could be things like going through the process of applying a set of application updates or a set of patches from a known source, or it could be automating the backup routines, backup and recovery routines that you have. It could be if you have an environment where you're spinning up new VMs on a regular basis for new application workloads or new websites or web applications in your environment. All of those tasks that you find yourself doing over and over again are all tasks that are good candidates for baking into a runbook. It could be, you know, maybe you're in the process of migrating some of your mailboxes to Office 365. And you want to turn that into a runbook automated process, right? Good news is runbooks are based on the PowerShell language, right? And so a lot of IT professionals out there are already using PowerShell to some degree, either a single commandlets or as small scripts or in some cases more sophisticated scripts and functions and whatnot. Those PowerShell scripts though that you may be in the process or already using today on-prem can be moved up into Azure Automation runbooks and run as an automation runbook through OMS. The advantage that gives you is it gives you the ability to kick that off not only manually by running it like you could a script, but it also gives you the ability to kick it off as a scheduled task. So if you wanted to have things that ran a backup or ran an update of your application, patching of your applications on a regular weekly basis, schedule those in the automation support. It also gives you automation is built on a platform that's designed to handle very long-running processes. And it gives you the ability to embed easily the ability to pause, resume, and checkpoint and resume those long-running processes so that if there's any type of interruption that happens, the runbook itself can be set up in a way that it knows how to properly resume from where it left off versus a simple script that you run from your admin workstation. And if your admin workstation reboots, it's probably going to have to start the script over from the beginning, right? It doesn't have any of that built-in intelligence.
Yeah. Or if it's 5 o'clock and you've got 2 more hours to go, that could be a problem. All right. Yeah. Lots of good stuff there in automation and control. Now let's switch over to insights and analytics, which is a big part of OMS. It's what people kind of start thinking about when they start thinking about OMS. So what do we have for insights and analytics in OMS, Keith?
Yeah. Well, first thing is, you know, when you think about the servers and the virtual machines that are in a typical customer environment, there's an incredible amount of data that about how that server is running that's sitting in event viewer logs, performance monitor counters and objects, in application-specific logs. And what the first piece that OMS does from an analytics standpoint is it helps to ingest all of that information into a central location in OMS where you can do easy searches across that so that when you're trying to correlate certain activities that may be occurring on a related basis between server 1 and server 2 and server 3, or VM 1 and VM 2 and VM 3, you have a central place you can go to do free text querying of that information and be able to do more effective troubleshooting, more effective triaging and whatnot, so that that ability to search across your entire network and be able to ingest all that information in is really key from that standpoint. And as you're looking at your data, you may know that there's certain events that when they get triggered in an event log, whether it's an application log or a Windows system event log, for instance, you want to be notified on those. So the log analytics, anything that you can search on across all of those logs in OMS, you can also set alerts on those search queries so that when the search query runs and returns a result, you can say, run this query every 5 minutes. When it returns a result back, alert me to that fact. Something happened that I'm getting this result back. Send me an email, send me an SMS text notification, or, and this ties back into our automation conversation earlier, or run this runbook in response to this condition. So you might say, well, hey, there's a service that I know when it stops, that's critical to my applications. If it stops for any reason, and I want to be alerted when that service stops, I want to get a notification, or perhaps I have a runbook that goes out to that VM and restarts the service or reboots the machine to bring things back up to a healthy state. This alert fires, I want OMS to automatically run this runbook and be able to self-heal itself in my environment.
Yeah, this is awesome. So there are a lot of tools out there that, you know, collect your logs. But the really cool thing about OMS is not only does it collect logs from all these sources, but you can take action based on what you receive. It can be small actions or it can be, you know, advanced runbooks. That really differentiates OMS and just gives you a ton of power. And, you know, also, you know, if you think about, you know, just some Windows boxes on-prem collecting logs, that's kind of cool, but OMS can take logs from all these other sources. So if you're running on-prem Linux, you know, if you've got, you know, your performance counters in Windows, the Windows event logs, custom logs, application insights, IIS logs, all this stuff from on-prem and from cloud, physical or virtual machines, and from Linux, all in one place, searchable, actionable. That's hot.
Yep, and we see a lot of interest. We had talked in one of our prior episodes about Windows Server and container support. Mm-hmm. Containers are another area that have lots of logs and information building up, and OMS can bring in your Docker and Kubernetes and whatnot logs as well, and be able to provide it visibility over those.
Yeah. So, you know, another thing is just really fast troubleshooting, right? So when you have a problem and you don't know what server is causing the problem, the ability to go to one place and do a really fast search and then kick off remediation once you find the problem, I mean, that is worth the cost of OMS itself, in my opinion, just because when things are down, that clock is ticking. And if you have to go to server to server to server to see which one's causing the problem, I mean, that's a resume-generating event, which is not a good thing.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. And then the second part of that analytics is actually the insights that can be drawn off analytics. You know, as we said, there's a huge amount of data that are sitting in these various logs that you had mentioned, Eric. And it's far more data than any one human in IT can spend every day. You know, even if they had all day long to do nothing but look at logs, it's still more data than possible to have it manually reviewed and gain manual insight off of to figure out what's happening, what are the trends, where am I hitting capacity or performance issues, where do I have a potential health issue, where there's an application or server that's maybe not responding or not working 100%. How do I plan for, how do I use this information to plan for which servers to upgrade first, next, newer versions of Windows Server, newer versions of application workloads. So all of those insights are also a key portion of OMS's analytics and insights as well to help you draw insights off of that data.
Right, and it's really all about insights. And Keith, can you talk a little more about the solution gallery and the additional insights that you can get from these third-party add-ons?
Yeah, absolutely. So the OMS includes, for those insights, it includes a pretty comprehensive solution gallery that has pre-built solution packs that target many common areas of insight that an IT organization may be looking to get across their entire organization. And so some of those solution packs do things like they just focus on overall health, right, of the servers and the workloads that they're running, you know, alert you to health issues at a high level. Whereas other solution packs drill into more detail insights around particular types of configurations or elements of those servers, like Active Directory health, for instance, or Active Directory replication status, or Hyper-V VMs. There's actually a new solution pack that just recently launched for VMware. So even if you're running your Windows Server workloads inside of a VMware environment, there's a VMware monitoring solution pack. If you have SQL servers that you're using, there's a SQL assessment solution pack that helps you assess the performance and availability and capacity of your SQL environments. And so what these solution packs are doing is they're reaching down into the same log, aggregated log information that you can do your own free queries across, and they're using a set of rules, a set of machine learning-based rules to be able to review that data and boil that up into pinpoint data that you can look at on a dashboard basis and get immediate insights off of things like, hey, I noticed that in my SQL environment, this SQL server is overloaded and it's serving up a lot more databases than these other servers. And here's a server that's underloaded. Maybe it makes sense to now move some of those databases from server one to server two. So simple things like that, that if you're down in the weeds of looking at the log information at a granular level server by server, you may never see, right, at that point.
Yeah, great example. So many solution packs are becoming available all the time. So, I mean, the VMware one, great call out there. A lot of people are still running VMware. So I think we've covered a lot in this video. Let's wrap this one up. This is video number two in the three-part series on OMS. Be sure to check out our next video, the third video in the series, where we're going to talk about security and compliance, a lot of security stuff in OMS, and also protection and recovery and migration. So if you're interested in migrating those VMs to Azure, you're going to want to check out the third video. So that wraps it up for video number two here. We will see you at video number three. We'll see you next time on OEM TV.